everybody. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Igniting Hearts with Benjamin and Tara Dietrich. We're super excited today. We have a special guest that we're going to intro in just a minute. But before then, Tara has something to share.
Yeah, we're so excited that you are joining us for this podcast. We are featuring testimonies on Ignite right now. We want to just fill the world with testimonies about the overcoming power of Jesus. So you're in for a treat today. We're excited to hear our guest testimony and just hear how the Lord is using him in such a radical way. But we want to just remind you, wherever you're at, we want to spread the word of the gospel out. So don't forget to push the like button and share. It helps get this testimony to as many people as possible. And we also love hearing from you. So please make sure that you comment and let us know how this impacted you. Let us know if you have any questions. We want to hear from you and we want to hear how we can serve you more. So just don't forget to connect with us in that way. So let's jump right in.
Awesome. Awesome. So we have today with us Pastor Terry Cuthbertson from Arcadia, Oklahoma. He leads a church called Hope City Church in Arcadia, Oklahoma. And he is an amazing man. He's a man on fire. He's apostolic. He's prophetic. He's evangelistic. He leads teams, outreaches, missions. He's planted churches. He is one who really believes that he is to own real estate even and help to transform cities in the United States and other places around the world. So we so honor this man of God and his testimony and who he is. And so, Pastor Terry, thank you for being with us today. It's just an honor to have you.
No, thank you. I'm just honored to get to hang out with you guys. And I love y'all so much. And I love what you guys are doing. So it's amazing. Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely. We love you too, brother. We love you too. And man, when you were sharing your testimony, I was with you, I think it was November, we were together. I was there and we were doing a few meetings together in Arcadia. And I heard your testimony when we sat down to a meal and I was just gripped. You know, I was gripped with the grace of God. I was gripped with the love of God. And I thought it would encourage so many people. So would you just share your testimony? How did you come to faith in Christ? What was your life like before then? And then we'll get to the post-resurrection power, but kind of share your story.
Well, you know, I actually grew up in a religious home. You know, my great grandma was a pastor. Everyone who was old enough to attend church went to church there, you know. And but early in my life, I suffered abuse in multiple ways, physical, mental, just every form of abuse you can suffer, I suffered. Mm-hmm. And it was all secret. It was all hidden. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people didn't know what was going on. And so, you know, I loved growing up in the church, but when you have that kind of hurt, you start acting out and acting crazy. And, you know, I became a very artsy kid and I was growing up in a very country church. So that wasn't always accepted. You know, poetry boy wasn't always seen as cool in the church. And so, you know, there was a lot of hurt going on and people didn't really know how to minister healing in that environment. You know, it was kind of like, we'll pray for you, but let's not bring mess out in the open. And you know, we don't want to make a mess in the church, basically. Mm. And I don't know if that was what they meant or not. I know that was kind of what it was. It was like, I don't know if it was just a lack of knowledge of what to do in that. But I had anger and bitterness and hurt and unforgiveness that just lived in my heart so deeply that it would just find ways of bringing me to places where in order to try and get healing, I was always reaching out to the next thing to get acceptance and to get like I feel like I belong. And so I tried everything. I even went to a Bible college for like a year until I flunked out and couldn't afford it any longer. And at that point, I think just all the anger, all the bitterness just overwhelmed. And I just made up my mind. I was like, God's people don't love me, you know, and if God is a good, if God's a father, then he's an abusive father, right? Because at any moment he could have saved me, could have protected me. And so I just lashed out. I got heavily into the party scene. I was living in Texas. I moved to Arlington, Texas, and, you know, started going to parties and raves. And, you know, before long, you know, it's like you're just taking little steps too. So just like, you know, for me, I had never really drank before. You know, I tried alcohol in high school once or twice. But at that point, man, I was like, once I started drinking, it was like the addictive personality of me was just like, okay, let's do everything, you know?
Right.
And a lot of it was just because when I was with people, I was hurting so bad and I wanted to hurt people. So it was like I was medicating myself, you know, so that I wouldn't be, emotional and rational and hurt people. So before long, I mean, it literally, you know, it became a full blown party thing that I was living out. And it was dark. I mean, I could tell you, like, there, I don't have great, like, I don't actually have a lot. There's actual black, like, spots in my memory of mm-hmm. that time. Mm-hmm. I know there were times, like, because, you know, when you're in when you're on drugs, I mean, you're just not you, you know? And there would be times like you're just sitting there and it's like you're in a trance. It's like you're not there even though you're seeing it. So it's like you're watching TV. And so there were just things happening all the time. And I was just getting more and more in a dangerous situation. Mm. And God in his providence had not given up on me. And so in Arlington, this house that we're living in, the guy who owns it lives in another country and isn't paying the mortgage. Wow. So the house gets purchased somehow by a HUD home process. And we made too much money. Us who live in this house made too much money to stay in that house.
Wow.
And because what's crazy is like in Arlington, you could wait tables because you have the ballpark and, you know, Texas Rangers and all this stuff. You could make a ton of money. And then if you're doing other things, there's other money coming in, you know. Wow. And so you can make enough money that it was just easy. And so when that house went up, we didn't know what to do. And my mom, you know, my mom was praying for us the whole time. My mom and grandparents never quit praying for me. And so mom was just like, hey, move out to Oklahoma. Cost of living is so cheap out here. You'll do amazing. If you're waiting tables and making your rent in one weekend in Oklahoma, you'll do amazing. And so I moved to this town called Enid, Oklahoma, and just kept living that lifestyle, you know. And what I found out was with the cost of living being cheaper, it also meant that if you're doing tables, like tips are also lower too, because it's, you know, everything adjusts itself. But still living that party lifestyle, and you know, even in that apartment, just chaos happened all the time. There were parties, there were people getting hurt, and somehow God just kept protecting us. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you live wild, you're not going to last in an apartment for long if it's trying to be a decent. So they kicked us out. And I ended up living in my car for a while because I was just too proud to go back to and let my mom know what was going on. So I'm living out of my car. One of the friends that I had, she let me stay at her mom's house. I'm living on a screened-in porch in Enid, Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, where the weather is chaos, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got a roof, but it's, you know, a lot of blankets a lot of days, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys I made friends with during that time was my pot connection. And his girlfriend started going to this church, and he just thought it was funny because when he would go there, the things he experienced was, first, if you walk in the door, you got hugged. So his first experience at church is like, everyone hugs you there. Like, he just thought that was the greatest thing ever. Then the other thing he thought was interesting was that people kept, during praise and worship and prayer times, speaking in other languages.
Wow.
And so, you know, he would come and share these things with me. Well, I grew up in the church. So when he started telling me about that, I'm like, yeah, that's called speaking in tongues. So I'm telling him what it means. Yeah. And he's like, well, man, did you ever speak in tongues? And I was like, I mean, I guess as a kid. He goes, oh, man, if you did that, you got faith. You need to come to church at my girlfriend's church. It's going to be awesome. And I was just like, man, I'm never going back to the church. I was like, those people are angry. They're mean. They're hateful. And all it's going to happen is I'm going to feel bad about who I am. You know what I mean? And his thought for me was that he was concerned that I was so depressed I was going to kill myself.
Wow.
And so his mindset was like, let me get my friend to this church. And if he gets hugged, maybe that'll help him not be depressed. I mean, and so he was determined, like best evangelists I've ever seen is a guy who's not saved, but is just excited to get his buddy hugged at a church. Right.
Yeah.
And so one Wednesday night, he just shows up at this house I'm staying at. And he's like, just get in the car, Terry. We're going to church. You're going to get hugged. You know, so I jump in his truck, and I mean, I was so nervous about going because you know what's amazing is, you know, the devil has conversations that sound logical when you have a wrong filter on. Mm-hmm. And so in my heart, I really was afraid that I was going to, when they saw me, they would instantly hate me and instantly reject me. And mm-hmm. so, you know, on the way there, man, I smoked, you know, I came in smelling like smoke. I came in looking like I had the big earrings and the crazy hair back then when I had hair. Mm-hmm. And what was funny is we actually walked through the one door mm-hmm. that on that night, no one was greeting at. Mm-hmm. And so to my head, I was like, aha, I've gotten through this thing. But this guy from across the lobby saw me and he like mall walked. Like he was an older gentleman and he mall walked and without even asking for permission, just walks up and hugs me. And he's like, bro, you know, I'm so glad you're here. You know, we love it when guys your age come here. If you ever, I mean, like he's looking for a table to coffee and my friend staying behind him going, see, I told you they hug people here. And, you know, so we go into the Wednesday night service. Marilyn Murray is preaching. She is preaching a message on the prodigal son.
Wow.
You know, tell me God is chasing you without telling me God is chasing you. You know what I mean? And during that message, one of the things that she pointed out about it that I had never, I had heard the story over and over, but the thing I had never realized before, she said, you know, the Bible says that while he was yet far, far away, the father saw him and came running to him. Right. And she said, so that says to me that the father was looking out for him daily in the hopes that he would return. You know, and of course, in me, like the Holy Spirit is just wrecking me, but I'm like gripping the pew, like I'm holding on to the pew, like I am not going back down this path because this is not going to bring, like, all this is going to do is bring me back to a place always feeling guilty and always not feeling loved and like I'm the problem, you know? And, but finally, I just couldn't take it. Like the Holy Spirit was just so moving in me. And I was so moved by this idea that even like, because, you know, the prodigal son says to his father, like he rehearses how he's going to say he's sorry. He's like, I've sinned against you and against God, and I'm not worthy to be called your son, right? He's like, just take me as a servant. But when he goes to apologize to his father interrupts him because he says, I've apologized. Or he said, I've sinned against you and against God. But before he can say, I'm not worthy to be your son, he says, my son has returned.
Wow.
You know, and so I'm like, okay, I'm going to come down to the altar and I'm going to get my, what, you know, in Oklahoma, we call it the comeuppance, you know, the you know, I'm going to get my punishment. I'm going to go get spanked because I've been a terrible kid. So even after hearing that, I still knew I didn't feel worthy and I knew I deserved punishment.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming to the altar and I don't know how to describe this in any other way than what I can say it as. And all I can tell you is this is what I experienced. When I got to the altar, I felt the tangible presence of God wrap around me like a hug. And I audibly heard the Lord say, welcome home, son.
Wow.
And I fell over the altar and began to weep. And I just wept for hours at the altar.
Wow.
I had never experienced such love in my entire life. Like it just wrecked me. I mean, it wrecked me. It left me just changed. I don't even know how to describe it. And you know what I'm saying? I heard it audibly. I asked people, no one else heard it. So it was something in me, but it felt audible. Yeah. And after about 3 hours of weeping at the altar, I mean, just wrecked under the power of God, you know, I got up and I was changed. And I knew it. I was like, at that point, I don't want to do anything but be at this place, right? So like the next day, I'm like, I don't want to do the drugs. I don't want to party. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do the things I'm doing with women anymore. I'm like, I just want to be here so I won't get in trouble. Like, I just want to hang out at my dad's house, right? And so from that point forward, what I did was I just started showing up at the church, like, what can I do to be a part of the church, you know? So I like rolled up water hoses and painted church because I just knew I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And then the thing that changed in me was, like, I just was so encountered with the love of God that when we would talk to other people, and I'm still in this way, I now operate from the love of God. Because, like, I know it's easy to preach, you know, wrath and anger and repentance, and those things are important. But when you preach repentance from a place of love, it's healing oil that flows out of you.
Right.
You know? And so what happens is, like, I don't even know the gospel that well, but everywhere I'm going, I'm telling everyone what happened. I'm like, I got saved, you know? And it was an amazing process, you know? And so, you know, that was that beginning point. And the other funny thing was hanging out at the church all the time, because I'm trying to avoid, you know, going back down the previous path, even though I really, like, it's amazing. Like, at the altar, every addiction left me.
Come on.
Like, I got up different. The only thing I struggled with was smoking cigarettes. Like, the Lord brought me through a month process where he literally, I think he was teaching me how it is to walk you know, in obedience, okay. you know, and how to grow in that way where you're willing to yield to the Holy Spirit and be obedient, you know? And, but when I hit that final point of that breaking after about a month, it like, I mean, it just completely released and never came back. But I'm hiding in the church because, you know, I'm trying to be good. So what happened was the devil starts sending people into the church to wrap me up. So they'd show up and they'd be like, Terry, you're here? Like, we partied with you. Like, so people would come and tell stories on me in front of everyone, you know? And so during that time, it was like, that was a process of like, two things were happening. One, the Lord was getting me to that place where my past wasn't going to be condemning me any longer.
Because
when God forgives you, Jesus' blood covers you.
Come on.
So the Bible says that the devil literally stands and he accuses the saints day and night, right? He's the accuser of the brethren. So he's standing in the courts of heaven and he is throwing accusation at us. He's like, you remember their past? Well, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and the payment for our sins are not seen by God any longer. Mm-hmm. And so what God was trying to walk me through that process of understanding, like, look, that past is no longer you. So and when people started coming in, what would happen is, instead of it being an embarrassing thing, I would be like, I am so glad you're here because I have been radically saved and I used to live like you were living. And part of the reason you're in the trouble you're in, and now I got to share the gospel with you. And I'll tell you, if it was a demonic assignment, they would run out the door. And if not, there would be an encounter with grace and with the love of God. And so it was a beautiful time. But one of the things I want people to understand is like, when you get saved, your past is now covered by the blood. Mm-hmm. So when the enemy tries to point it out, he's literally telling on you to your father, right? Huh. You know, but when your father looks at the book of everything you've done wrong, all he sees is the red spot, which is Jesus' blood. Wow. He doesn't see our sins any longer. And so, you know, that was 22 years ago.
Wow.
No, 23 years ago that happened. And I have not gotten over my salvation story.
Wow.
I mean, I've just not. And I, you know, like I said, I dropped out of a Bible college. I didn't have a college education, but God walked me through the process of me becoming a pastor and becoming, you know, now we do, like you said, we've started our own church. It's called Hope City Church. We do street evangelism. We do evangelism in which we go to pop culture areas. So like we'll go to comic conventions and pop culture conventions and tattoo conventions, and we'll either rent a booth or we'll set up a place where we podcast and we witness and we share the love of Jesus. And so we see salvations all the time now on the streets, at Walmart, you know, at these conventions. And in fact, we see people get delivered of demonic activity. We see people getting radically saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit when we're doing these encounters. And so it's just amazing what God does.
Wow. I love it. So, Pastor Terry, what an amazing testimony. Yeah. What an amazing testimony, you know, so.
It's beautiful. One of the things that really stuck out to me is that you knew, you know, you grew up in the church, you know, you knew God, you know, you talked about the prodigal son story. He knew the father. He knew what he was running away from. You know, and, you know, I love the encounter of like coming back to church community and your trepidation in that.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the questions that I have for you is, you know, for those out there who grew up in the church and grew up maybe having a similar experience that you did that felt rejected or felt like, you know, they had to hide, you know, in order to fit in necessarily. Like, what would you say, you know, was a transformational thing for you to go back into the doors of the church and really encounter something different? Like, what would you say was that difference for you from what you grew up with to that fresh new encounter that you had, you know, as that prodigal returning home?
Well, I mean, it was practically kidnapped, right? So, I mean, like, the guy who invited me
I love
was
it.
Determined. You know, I would say this too. I was watching this kid who should not been accepted in the church brag about how much his church was loving on him.
That's so
and
good.
I was watching the joy come over him, you know? And so that was one of those areas. It was like, if he's accepted there like this and they're not kicking him out the door, this must be something safer, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, yesterday, I led a kid to the Lord yesterday. And when I was talking, I said, kid, you know, I'm only 44, but I'm about to turn 44. But if you're even 5 years younger, I'm like, you're a kid now. So I'm in that stage where I'm a kid now. Yeah, yeah. And something. I led this young man to the Lord yesterday, and one of the things he told me when we were talking, he said, you know, I've been hurt by the church. And I said, you know, brother, I understand that, man. Like, you know, that was my testimony too. And I said, but you know, one of the things I've learned, and I'm just going to ask you a question. I was like, do you like going to Chick-fil-A? He's like, yeah. I was like, have you ever had the order given to you incorrectly? Right. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, do you still go to Chick-fil-A? Yes. Okay. Because it's the people who messed up the order. Right. That wasn't a reflection of who, you know, who it is. So it's not Jesus who hurts you. It's not the Father who hurts you. Sometimes it's people who mean well, but don't understand what they're doing. Right. And in their, maybe they're in their ignorance, or maybe they're in lack of knowledge, they've accidentally brought hurt because they're trying to do something they think will be healing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or, you know, the other side is everyone in the church is capable of not hitting the mark. I mean, there's not going to be a perfect church. And so, and in fact, if you find a perfect church, quit going to it because you're going to mess it up, you know? I mean, okay. There's just no one's going to be perfect. And so people are going to be human at times, but that isn't a reflection of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And it's not a reflection of who the church is meant to be. It's just that it's a possibility that a church can be at times. And we don't want to miss out on what Christ wants to do for us, because his radical love overwhelms everything.
Yeah.
And so I don't need to miss out on the love of Jesus because people who are flawed like me, you know, didn't meet up to that expectation. I want to receive what he has. And I totally encourage anyone. It's like, if you've been hurt by the church, before you write the church, because once you get the filter that the church is bad, you'll go to a church with the intention to prove they're bad.
Right.
So that you walk into a church and you assume from a negative place, everything's going on, right? So someone smiles, shakes your hand, and you're like, well, good, but he's trained to be there. That's what he has to do. Of course, he's going to shake my hand. You know, and then you sit in the back and you're in the back row and you're, you know, like, angry face. And it's like, well, no one came to talk to me. It's like, yeah, you look scary, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you just look scary. You know, and then you leave the church, like right as the prayer happens, you just get up and leave. And it's like, well, no one even greeted me as I was leaving. It's like, they'd have to run like Usain Bolt to catch up with you. You didn't wait for anyone. You took off. Right. But now in your assumptions, because you're hurting, you're misreading a lot of things. Mm. And that isn't to say that there isn't sometimes churches that can be toxic. But I'm just saying, like, if you allow that lie to come into you, the church as a whole isn't toxic.
Okay.
It might have been one instance, but it's not the church as a whole, because the church as a whole, especially when they have an encounter with the glory of God, they don't stay the same, you know? And so that's what I would encourage people, is like, don't let the enemy put that filter on you that will cause you to constantly, you know, push away that love that Jesus has for you, you know?
I love it.
So powerful.
That's so good. One thing I'm just curious of. So I love this guy. He's your pot dealer. He insists you go to church. He's like, you need a hug. I need a hug. We're going to church, bro.
Yeah.
We all need a hug, you know? So he insists you go to church. What happened to him? Number one.
This is the crazy part. I don't know.
I don't know. Wow.
The Lord brought him in my life for that small season.
Wow.
And the thing was, like, you know, he was my pot connection. That wasn't his full-time thing.
Right.
I think he did it so he could get it also, you know? But even the girl that he was going for, I think they broke up afterwards. I don't know what happened. It was like, as soon as God used him to get me there, he also removed him from my life.
Wow.
So I don't know. I pray for him. Like, I pray for him by name daily, you know, and ask God that the encounters that he had, that seed that's planted in him, would be burnt. I hope to run into him and be like, you know, the guy you keep talking about, that's me. I'm like, hey!
Come on.
You know? Because God used him so radically. But yeah, it was like, there was a season. That to me, it also is a part of what feels like such a miracle in my life, is that it was a random encounter that got him to start hanging out with me.
Right.
You know, that led him to stick with me when I was, I mean, think how many people are going to stick with someone when they become homeless?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? It's like that to me is such an interesting thing the Lord did. Right. But then as soon as the salvation happened, it was just like, he disappeared. I don't know where he went. You know, the Lord just used him for that season.
Wow,
Yeah.
amazing. The grace of
Yeah.
God is just mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grace of
Yeah.
God is so big, you know. It's
Yeah.
amazing. So Pastor Terry, as we wind up here, what are some of the stories, like maybe two stories of on the streets, people you have seen that look like
Yeah.
they could be the farthest away from God that anybody could be,
Yep.
because God did it for your life. And that's why we're
Yeah.
doing this
Yeah.
testimony
Yeah.
in our podcast. It's, you know, we want people to hear these testimonies.
Yeah.
We're hoping most of our demographic, let's face it, is Christian, but we're hoping at least some non-Christians hear these podcasts, hear these testimonies. Maybe some Christians share it with somebody that isn't a believer in Jesus Christ, and that they get touched by the heart and love of God, that God did it for somebody else,
Yeah.
and God could do it for them. My father
Yeah.
had a testimony. My father's name is David. He never went to church, and he didn't get saved for years and years and years because he thought he was too bad. He
Yeah,
literally
wow.
thought he was just, I'm too bad. God won't
Yeah.
accept, God won't love me. So we're hoping
Yeah.
this goes to so many people and just t it touches them. So
Yeah.
what are some testimonies that you could tell, like on the streets, people that look like they were far away, even to give hope to other believers that are praying for a prodigal, praying for somebody who's far away from the Lord? Just build our faith, man. Just two
Okay.
testimonies.
Yeah. Well, let me also say to believers, don't. Okay, here's what I tell my church all the time, and the evangelism groups that go out with me. Results aren't your business.
Come on.
Only obedience. And so when you get to that place when results don't matter, like you're not afraid of results, then all of a sudden it frees you up. So
That's so
like, because what
good.
happened was when I first started, when I started praying for people, because I just felt like, man, God wants to prove his love to people. But it was funny when you make up your mind you're gonna pray for someone, because instead of it being someone with like, a boo-boo on their toe, it's always gonna be the most extreme thing possible that needs the healing, right? And I remember when the first thing happened, I was like, Lord, I don't know if I have the faith to pray for that to happen, But what the Lord really walked me through is the process of like, I am the one who gets the results. All I need you to do is just be
Come
obedient. And
on.
what I'm learning is my obedience is the faith I need to see miracles happen,
So
right?
good.
And so if I just so from a place of radical love, right? Because think about it. Here's the thing. The guy who hugged me, the first encounter I had with a loving Christian, his name is Randy DeWitt. I will never forget his name. He did not stop and give me all the points of he didn't walk me through the Romans road. He didn't lay out, all this foundational scriptures. He ran from one side of the room to the other side of the room and hugged a dude that looked weird and smelled like dope. You know what I mean? And then offered to take him to coffee, a total stranger that he doesn't even know. Okay? That's a weird thing to do unless you don't worry about results.
So
Do you know what I
good.
mean? And so what I would say to any believer is get to a place, because what this is what our evangelism looks like. We walk around and we say, hey, we're in the area praying for people. How can I pray for you? That's all we do. Everywhere we go, if we're at Walmart, if we're at one of these comic conventions or a tattoo convention, we're walking around saying, hey, we're in this area praying for people. How can I pray for you?
That's awesome.
So our belief is fish come first. So when I pray for something, God wants to prove his love to them. So I pray for a person and then God performs a miracle like he did for Simon Peter, right? He did the miracle of fish before he called him to be a fisher of men. And after he performed that miracle, Jesus or Peter fell on his feet before Jesus and said, I'm not worthy to follow you. Like, get away from me. And he said, no, today you'll follow me. So when we're praying for people, all we're doing is that we are just providing opportunity for fish to come first. So we walk around saying, how can I pray for you? So, recently, okay, I'll tell you, so here's another one about results, right? The Lord told me to have this sign. It's a homemade wooden sign, okay, like a sandwich board sign, and I painted on it, how can I pray for you? And now I've got a banner. Someone bought me a banner, so it looks a little nicer. But originally, I basically painted, how can I pray for you, in the largest, brightest color you could see. And I would park on Route 66, and just sit out there and wait for people to come out and be prayed for. I had a season where literally the Lord kept telling me an exact day and time to go out and pray, like to put that sign out. I went out the first week. And I'm all excited, right? Like the Lord has given me an assignment. Like he has given me an assignment. So something awesome is going to happen today. Right. So I put the sign up on the top of my truck. I'm sitting on the tailgate, right on Route 66. Cars are honking. People are waving. No one stops the entire time I'm there.
Wow.
No one. Wow. So the next week, I feel the Lord tell me the exact day and the exact time again. And I'm like, Lord, here's the thing. Like, been doing this and nobody is stopping. Like, what do you want from me? I go out there. We are out there. It was me and I invited another friend to sit out there. We are out there for 2 hours. Wow. No one stopped. Okay. The third week, the Lord says, I want you to go out there. I'm like, I'm angry at this point. Like, yeah. Like, why are you doing this to me? You know? So I call, at this time, my worship pastor called and said, hey, are you going down the street? I said, actually, I feel like the Lord wants to go out today, and this is the time. He said, sweet, I'm free. I'm going to come with you. So Bradley and I are sitting out on the side of the road. We're out there for 2 hours. No one stops. And I'm like, let's give it 5 more minutes, and then we're going to put the sign away. And literally, as it hits that 5 minutes, I'm like, all right, let's put the sign away. This woman pulls in next to us, like dirt flying, pulls in so fast, gets out of the car. He is weeping. And she says, I was hoping you'd be here. I've seen you for the last 2 weeks, and I'm desperately in need of prayer. Wow. And she opens up about the fact that she's getting out of an abusive relationship. She's afraid this man's going to hunt her down and kill her. Like, she is frantic and so afraid. And so we, in that moment, get to minister to her. And then, you know, the Lord had luckily had connected with another ministry. So I was able to connect to her ministry that would even help keep her, you know, like get her into safekeeping, you know?
Right.
This whole thing happened, and she had seen us for 2 weeks prior to that, but wow. I wasn't getting results.
Right.
And so in that moment, what I would say to you is trust that when God asks you to be obedient, I'm telling you, a lot of times he's letting you do something that you won't see results because he wants to know if you'll do it if you don't get results.
So
because if you'll only do it if you get results, then you'll only do it when you get results.
Right.
But obedience doesn't work that way. And if we'll steward obedience, he'll open the door. Right.
Okay.
So another one was we were at a park called Scissortail Park, and out walking around praying for people. We had a young lady just literally come to us. And this is the thing. Here's the cool thing. Once you open yourself up to praying for people, the Holy Spirit starts drawing people into you.
Yeah.
So you know, I've seen backs healed. I've seen actual like broken feet healed. We've seen actual miracles. We've had powerful encounters on the street. I mean, some of the craziest things I've ever seen happen on the street. And so now what happens is because we're so obedient, like if we're out praying for people, the Holy Spirit is drawing people in. We had a young lady run up to us and just fall on her knees and say, I am just so angry at God. And yeah. Like just pour out about her brother being murdered and how just lost she felt. Then she brought us to her friends, and now we have another opportunity. So now we're witnessing to two more people, wow. Like right there in the street. You know, and so what I'd say is like, you know, these are the kind of encounters. And it's funny because like a lot of times too, if you listen to the Holy Spirit as he's talking to you, because every time we pray for someone, regardless of what result we get, we always ask them, hey, if you die today, do you know if you're going to go to heaven or not?
Right.
You know what's crazy is in America, most people believe these three answers are very, very common. I get, I'm going to heaven, and then I ask them why, and they're like, well, I do good things. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, that's awesome. I'm so glad you do good things. The mm-hmm. world needs people doing good things, right? Mm-hmm. But the truth is good things don't get us to heaven.
Right.
Like there are good people and bad people that are not going to heaven because it's not by our works. It's what Jesus does, right? Mm-hmm. And so we lead a bit, but a lot of people say, I don't know. And in that one, it's like, well, we can give you assurance today. Like you could have assurance right now. If you don't know, let me tell you about Jesus and why he died on the cross for you. But I'm actually a people, and especially like we had a witch that we were talking to, and I asked her, I said, you know, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? She's like, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. Wow. And she's like, I'm glad to go there. You know, she was excited.
Wow.
And so, you know, I said, well, is there anything I can pray with you about? She's like, nope. And I'm like, I said, okay, well, I said, you know, sometimes the Lord tells me some information and I feel like the Lord's telling me something. Do you mind if I share this, even if it's a little personal? Because I feel it's a little personal and I don't want to make you upset. You know what I mean? And she said, well, go ahead if you think you can. He said, the name on your name tag is not your real name.
Mm.
And then the Lord gave me her real name.
Wow.
And I said, the reason you you don't like your real name is because it's related to your mother. I said, and what I'm seeing is there's such anger towards the way your mother's treated you, you know, that you don't know what to do next, you know? And like, now at this point, she's like, you know, because, you know, she's seen witchcraft in which they're able to tell the fortunes and they can make predictions. But now the Lord is literally opening up to her. You know what I mean? Right. And so in that moment, she didn't give her life to the Lord, but she was so taken back. And the one thing she said to me, she left, she said, you're the only Christian that's ever been nice to me.
Wow.
You know, because I mean, she looked like a witch. She looked, I mean, she wasn't trying to hide it. She's wearing the pentagram. So can I tell you one more? Cause I know I don't want to take off time.
One more. Let's do it.
This was the one that ignited something huge in me. When we first planted this church, you know, we weren't making a lot of money. The church wasn't making it enough to pay me full time. So, you know, you do the whole gig economy thing. So I was driving for Postmates. And I just made up my mind. It's like, if I'm going to drive for Postmates, I'm gonna look for opportunities to minister whenever I can, right? And so literally, this was like one of the first encounters I had with what evangelism could potentially look like. And so, and this is before the Lord gave me the how can I pray for you thing, which by the way, guys, I'm telling you, the easiest way to evangelize is just to say, hey, I'm in the area praying for people. How can I pray for you?
Okay.
That opens every door. Atheists let me pray for them. Wow. Witches let me pray for them. I have very few people who won't let me pray for them. Wow. I mean, it's amazing.
Wow.
So I back then I didn't know what to do, and I think I made things harder, you know. But I went into this little Mexican restaurant, and I heard the Lord. I was waiting on the order to come up, and the hostess was sitting there. She's this little 17-year-old girl, and I heard the Lord say, "Go tell her she's significant." Mm-hmm. And I said, Lord, I am a creepy old man. I am not going to bother some teenager. Like, I am not going to jail today, okay? This is not the time to do this. And I heard him say it three times. So then in the flesh, I decided, okay, I don't want to take that risk, you know? So I moved in the flesh. It was a huge mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Because we kept saying, Lord, give me another sign. Give me something else to tell her. When I asked the Lord to give me something else to tell her, I started hearing the song, "You Are My Sunshine." I was like, nope, that's even creepier. Like, I'm doing this. Hey, this is not going to work. No, Lord, no. So I go and I said, hey, I believe the Lord highlights people. And for whatever reason, the Lord's really highlighted you. And I just want you to, I don't know if this matters to you. I'm walking the flesh, so I'm just flowing. Okay? I'm just making things up. I said, I just feel like April means something to you. You know? And she's like, well, I'm super religious. And so like, you know, Easter. And so, you know, like that's really cool. And I was like, no. Hey, I messed up. Hold on. That's not what the Lord told me. And I'm really sorry. He said, here's what I actually heard the Lord said. I really am sorry. I didn't know how to say this to you. I was sitting over there and I heard the Lord say, you are significant. And that word, which is not a word in my vocabulary, by the way. I'm from Oklahoma. Okay. Like that's just, I don't use big words all the time, you know? And so I said, I heard him say it three times. You are significant. So I want you to know, I said it to her three times. You are significant. It's dinner time. It's a packed Mexican restaurant. Mm. There are people waiting to get seats. And she begins to weep openly. Mm. Now I'm like, what do you do at this moment? It's like, I just made a scene. But then I started hearing that song again. And I just said, you know what? What's weird is as I see you, as I hear the Lord saying this over you, I hear the song, "You Are My Sunshine," being sang over you.
Wow.
And now she's really crying.
Wow.
And she said, my poppy sang that song to me every night before he passed away.
Wow.
And she said, last Tuesday night, I was sitting on my couch and I just said to the Lord, I feel so insignificant.
Wow.
I just feel like I don't matter. She's like, and so at that point, then I just props. I'm like, well, I want you to know right now, Jesus is so proud of you and he sees you and he's singing the song over you right now, right? And so there's just tears everywhere and then the food comes out. So I just run away. And I'm like, I've done that thing. I'm going to run away. But I got in the car and at that moment, I was just like, okay, Lord, yeah, just go before anyone arrests you. Just get out of there. But I got in the car, you know, and I just said, Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to do from this point forward. Like, I'll do anything you ask me to do from this point forward. And I'm telling you, like, there have been times I've felt the Lord tell me to go tell someone something, and they'll just be like, just leave me alone. Like, I don't need this right now. And I don't take it personally anymore. Because if the Lord told me to do it, I just trust he told me to do it. Absolutely. And my heart is so filled with God's love that when I'm pouring out, I literally want to operate from a place of God's love, right? So I just don't take it offensive anymore. The Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit brings to your knowledge your need for Jesus, you won't receive him anyways.
Right.
And so what you're doing is just planting the seed so that when the Holy Spirit reveals to them their need, there'll be enough seed to grow in that place, you know, of salvation and repentance, you know? So anyways,
So good, man. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Terry, for your time, for these testimonies. We just believe that as you're watching this or listening to this, your faith is being built.
Yeah.
Hope is being stirred. Life is being stirred. Resurrection power is being stirred. Pastor Terry, as we close, would you just pray for an impartation for people, for whatever you want to pray, evangelism, prophetic, whatever you want to pray, just an impartation of hope and life for people.
And I just really like want to piggyback on what Pastor Terry said too. Like, we can make it so complicated. I love how you said, you know, he's the one who's in charge of the results, not us. We're just meant to be obedient. And so I felt to reiterate that for those of us out there that can get in our heads and can make it so complicated. God just wants us to put one foot in front of another and just do the thing, like just be light, be a reflection of him in this earth, and don't overcomplicate things. It's simple to be a reflection of Jesus in this world. So I love that, Pastor Terry. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Well, as I pray too, let me pray for anyone who's hearing this testimony and your move. Maybe you grew up in the church, but you found yourself felt far away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I want to invite you back. The Father loves you. Yeah. He has not abandoned you, and he's looking for you. And he loves you so much that he sent Jesus on the cross to die for you.
Yes.
And every one of your sins Jesus saw as he died for you, and he was happy to pay the price for you. Mm-hmm. He is madly in love with you, and he is pursuing you, and he wants you to know that he wants a relationship with you. And so if you're watching today and you're far away from the Lord, I just want you to cry out to the Lord. Mm-hmm. However you cry out, he will receive you, and simply just make Jesus Lord. Say, Jesus, I receive you as Lord, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I submit to you. I will obey you. I'll follow you. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I just pray that right now. And then I pray for anyone right now who has a hunger for evangelism. And even those who maybe you're nervous about the idea of evangelism, but you know God's calling you to do it. Let me pray this right now over you. I pray that as you take the first step, as your feet steps into the Jordan River, that the miraculous will break forth. Mm-hmm. That as you step out in boldness and ask people, how can I pray for you? I pray miracles and abundance in miracles. Mm-hmm. I pray that you feel the power of God so mighty that it literally alters people's bodies. Mm-hmm. God, I thank you that you are so hungry to reach the lost that anyone who obeys, you will impart in them an even higher level of faith. Father, I just pray for them right now. We come against every lie of the enemy that would try to convince them to be silent or that they would be an inconvenience, because what we have to give is nothing more than the love of Jesus, which forever changes lives. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that you open their eyes. Holy Spirit, open their eyes right now, that when they see a person, they'll see your love and how much you love them, that they'll operate from the Father's love as they speak to people. I pray for those who have been impacted today just to hug people, to be the literal hands and feet of Jesus, hugging those who feel hopeless and lost. And Father, I just pray that anyone who steps forward, you bless them in their efforts, and you let them know you're so proud of them. And Lord, we pray harvest from their efforts.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So powerful.
Well, thank you.
How can people get connected to you? How can people sow into you? We want to encourage all of our viewers, all of our listeners, to sow into Pastor Terry, sow into this work of evangelism, sow into this work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So how can people connect, Pastor Terry? How can people sow?
I would say, I don't know why people sewing, but I would say one of the big things you could do is just get on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is called Kingdom Team Live. I do reaction videos to pop culture stuff, but I also have evangelism videos in there and trainings and interviews that are going on.
Awesome.
I recently just released a prophetic word that I feel like is important for this season of revival. And so being a part of that would help out a lot. And then I'm on Facebook, and the church that I preach at is called Hope City OKC. So if you just go to hopecityokc.church, we stream all of our services. We are a spirit-filled church on fire, on mission. Mm-hmm. And so what we have happened is we have the altars are just busting with God's glory. We see salvations, and God's just moving. And so, yeah, those are great ways of getting connected to me. That'd be the best way of doing it.
Awesome. Thank you, Terry. And thank you all for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Igniting Hearts with Benjamin and Tara Dietrich with our friend, Pastor Terry Cuthbertson. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, go and be the light, be the hope, be the gospel that people can encounter. You are able. And so go forth in power. God bless you.
Blessings.